You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
He's up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast here at William Hill. Bit of a mixed bag of action to look forward to this week. We have cup football in the FA Cup fifth round replays. We also have a huge game in the Premier League as well. Manchester City are at the Emirates to take on Arsenal, a repeat of the Carabao Cup final, of course. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to this week's live matches is Mr. Sam Norris. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, Mark. Yourself?
Very well indeed. All is well. Leeds United won a game and kept a clean sheet. It's the happiest I've been for months.
I was just about to say, this is the first time I've seen you crack a smile almost all season.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely this calendar year anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes. Yeah, not bad. And good football this weekend as well. We'll come on to the Carabao Cup final a little bit later on when we talk about the match coming up on Thursday night where they meet again at the Emirates. But yeah, pretty good weekend of football and... nothing like the magic of the FA Cup to kick us off this week as well, Sam.
Yeah, it was decent stuff all round across the weekend, and I've enjoyed having European football back the last 2 weeks, but it's a quieter midweek this week with a couple of FA Cup replays to come, but they're both televised matches, and well, bad midweek football is better than no midweek football, and I wouldn't say it's bad. It's just more low key compared to the Champions League last week.
But, yeah, could see the upset. Nobody expected Wigan to beat City, but that happened.
Yeah,
suddenly,
of course. Yeah.
What a game it turned out to be.
Mm.
Anyway, let's get stuck into these then. Maybe we'll see one or two surprises along the way. We have Swansea against Sheffield Wednesday. The first of the matches we're going to look at. This is on Tuesday evening. It's a 7:45 p.m. kickoff according to our website. I thought it was a 8:05 kickoff because it's on the BBC. So do check the kickoff time. Mm. Swansea are 3-4 to win the match. The draw is 5-2, and Sheffield Wednesday are 4-1. Swansea had a remarkable turnaround under Carlos Carvajal. Only lost once in 11 games. That was last time out as well against Brighton. So they are still in a relegation battle in the Premier League. Perhaps some people would see the cup as a distraction, Sam. But other people would say winning breeds winning. And they take on a Sheffield Wednesday side who are languishing in 17th in the Championship. A very disappointing season for them. Is this a good opportunity for Swansea to get straight back to winning ways?
Yeah, I think so. I'd be more in the latter camp when you come to those two assessments of the FA Cup. I think, you know, getting wins wherever they come is always good. Obviously, it's extra games, it's an extra workload on the players, but it's a chance for players to play themselves into form. Obviously, gives some of the fringe players a bit of a chance as well. The thing that struck me most about this game is both sides conceded 4 goals at the weekend. So I think first and foremost in both camps they've probably only had a day or two of training leading up to this one, but I think the focus for both sides will be, let's try and get a clean sheet first of all. Let's try and keep it nice and tight. When you concede 4 goals at the weekend, and when you concede a greater amount of goals, very often the next game it has a very defensive look about it, and that will be the first port of call for both teams coming into this one. So with that in mind, it wouldn't surprise me if this is a bit of a low scoring affair. Obviously Swansea beaten 4-1 away at Brighton at the weekend, and Sheffield Wednesday were beaten at home. They lost 4-2 to Aston Villa. So I think both sides are going to try and keep it nice and tight, and I'd probably be prepared almost to draw a bit of a line through those two games in terms of the nature of the defeat. I think Brighton are actually really, really good at home this season. The only sides that have beaten them at home this year are Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City. So it's no major disgrace for Swansea to be losing to them. Aston Villa are obviously one of the form teams in the Championship. They're challenging for promotion. So again, I wouldn't read too much into that. But the fact that they conceded 4 goals, both the sides, that's something I would focus on. And if you look back to the first game between these two sides in this competition. It finished 0-0, so I could definitely see this being low on the goals with those two things in mind. Under 2.5 is 8-13, so it's not exactly been missed by the traders, the fact that that this one could be a fairly low-scoring affair. But I am keen to make that a part of my bet, but I also think we can predict the result here as well. Under Carvajal, as you mentioned, Swansea have been transformed, they've been rejuvenated. But a big part of that has been the turnaround in their home form. They've won the last five straight at the Liberty, including beating Arsenal and Liverpool in that run. So at home, they've been really, really good of late, beating a couple of good sides along the way. This has also been the way they've qualified through every round of the competition so far. They've gone away to a lower league side. They did it against Wolves and against Notts County. Drew the first game, got them back to the Liberty and got the tie one. So it's a blueprint that they've replicated in the two rounds so far. I could see them doing it again here and getting the job done the Liberty, but I just don't expect this to be a particularly high-scoring affair at all. But I do think Swansea will win it, given that their home form is pretty decent. And on the flip side of that, Sheffield Wednesday have not really been the best travellers this season. They're having a disappointing year in general. Down in 17th is miles away from where they would have expected to be this season. But their away form has been pretty dire. They've just had three wins away from home all season, the last of those coming on Boxing Day. So it's been a long time since they tasted success on the road. Swansea in good nick at the Liberty at the moment. And they're actually not a bad price here outright, Swansea. 3-4. And when you consider the home and away forms coming into this one and the fact that it is a Premier League side taking on lower league opposition, I don't think that's a bad price at all about Swansea, but I'm keen to get under 2.5 in there as well. Swansea to win the game and under 2.5 goals is 9-4, which I think will definitely do for me in terms of a bet. I'd be fairly confident on both parts of it here that it's going to be a low-scoring Swansea win.
Do you think Sheffield Wednesday are kept out here? Do you think Swansea keep a clean sheet? Because there are clean sheets in their home form against Liverpool and against Burnley recently, of course. And Wednesday, they're struggling for goals on the road. They've only scored away at Barnsley and Millwall. They drew, they did draw, but they didn't score against Middlesbrough, they didn't score against Sheffield United, they didn't score against Carlisle either in that recent barren spell. Could it be a Swansea win to nil, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I could certainly see Swansea winning to nil. I mean, to be fair, I like the Swansea and unders, and for that to happen, they have to keep a clean sheet, really, don't they? So, yes, yeah, so I suppose I'm definitely in that camp as well. For Swansea to win the match and win to nil, which will probably be a shorter price, I would imagine, than Swansea win and unders. So I'd be 8-5 it is for Swansea to win to nil. So I'd be inclined to push the boat out a little bit, because I can't really see them winning 3-4-0. I think it'll be a 1-2-0, and that would obviously land you the Swansea win and unders. But yeah, both parts of that bet I'm reasonably confident about this week.
Fancy Swansea to win then and to progress to the next round of the FA Cup. Sticking with FA Cup football for Wednesday night, we have Tottenham Hotspur taking on Rochdale. This is at Wembley, of course. Tottenham 1-10, so 10-1 on for Spurs to win. Draw is 8-1, and Rochdale a big price at 25-1. If you cast your minds back to the first meeting between these two sides in the original tie, it was a topsy-turvy 2-2 draw. It looked like Harry Kane had won it with an 88th minute goal for Spurs, but Steve Davis popped up with a 90th minute equaliser to force this replay. They had to do it the hard way against Newport as well. Spurs, they're not making the serene progress that they should be doing against these lower league teams in the FA Cup, but they should account for Rochdale here, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should do, to be fair. I mean, 1-10 in the betting tells a bit of a story. Oh, by the way, I like there how you struggled with that part of the sentence, yet you managed to get through saying topsy-turvy 2-2 draw, fine, which should have been the bit to trip you up.
Yeah, concentrate on that bit. I stopped concentrating on the 90th minute.
You're doing it the hard way as well.
I am. Let's have a replay.
Yeah, 1-10 here, and I think Pochettino will be a little bit frustrated that they're in a replay here and they got taken to a replay, of course, against Newport County, because in general they've taken this competition pretty seriously, and his team selection has been pretty strong throughout the tournament so far. The real big guns, Harry Kane, started the first two games of this competition against Wimbledon in the third round. That was the only round so far that's been plain sailing for them, when they won by 3-0. He started the original game against Newport County, and then obviously had to come off the bench to score for Spurs in the first game of this one against Rochdale. It's generally always a fairly strong side that Pochettino puts out. I mean, you look at that game the first game against Rochdale, despite the fact they had Juventus coming up the week after. Dele Alli and Harry Kane didn't start, but both came off the bench. Danny Rose started, Alderweireld, Trippier, Wanyama, Lucas Moura, Hyunmin Son all started. So they usually go with a pretty strong side in this competition, with a little bit of a gap now before the reverse against Juventus. I see no reason why it won't be another strong Spurs side again. And for all that, Rochdale played really well in that first game and definitely earned their replay. It was almost heartbreak with that late Harry Kane goal. And then, of course, Rochdale scored an even later one to force this replay. They definitely deserved it. But despite how well they played in that one, I'm struggling to make any sort of a case for them here. I mean, their league form has been pretty wretched of late. They've tumbled all the way down to the foot of League One. It doesn't tell the full story. They have got four games in hand over their relegation rivals, but even with those games in hand, they're 11 points from safety, and it's all well and good having the games in hand in the bank. You have to go and win them. And chances are, after those four games in hand are played, they're probably still going to be in the relegation zone, given they're 11 points of safety at the moment. And the FA Cup has been a bit of light relief for them, obviously. They beat Millwall in the previous round, got this draw against Spurs to force this replay, but away from the FA Cup, they've won just twice in the league since October, and that goes some way to explain where they are in the league. I mean, Spurs should win here. 10-1 on is ugly. The handicap betting doesn't really appeal too much to me. They always looked comfortable against Newport in the last round, but they still only won 2-0 on that occasion. So, I mean, minus a goal is 1-4 here, which I still wouldn't want to play at that price, but then I wouldn't quite want to go to minus 2 at 3-4 because I could see maybe a similar game panning out. They can win 2-0 and be very comfortable, and you still wouldn't land your handicap bet either. So you're looking elsewhere. Obviously, Harry Kane has got a tremendous record in this competition. He's 4-4 in the FA Cup this season. If you extend back to last season, I think he's played 6 FA Cup games for Spurs and has scored 8 times. So he's an obvious man. I think they'll try and do this without Harry Kane. For all that I said, they'll probably try and start a strong side, which I think they will. If they can do this without Kane having to be involved, that would be preferable. He's 4-11 any time. I suppose if you can envisage a narrative here where Rochdale frustrate Spurs and they need to call upon Kane from the bench, which they have done in previous rounds of this competition. Of course, he came on to score against Rochdale, got a late equaliser against Newport as well to force a replay there. If you imagine that Rochdale are going to frustrate Spurs and they're going to have to turn to Harry Kane, and he's 19-10 to score last here. Now, his 4 goals in the FA Cup so far have all come in the last half an hour of the game, and his latest 2 have come in the last 10 minutes of the game. So 19-10 for him to score last might not be the worst bet in the world. I mean, I'd wait for team news for this one, because if Kane starts, then it's more likely that he'll get 60 minutes and then be brought up. But if he doesn't start, and on top of that, you also think that Rochdale can frustrate Spurs for a while and they're going to have to turn to Harry Kane and bring him on. And Kane's score last is 19-10, which, if you're that way inclined, I could maybe see a reason for that. You get a little bit of a boost if you just chuck a Spurs win into that. It's 21-10 that Spurs win and Kane scores last. It's not much of a push out, but it is there. As mentioned, I definitely wait for team news with that. And you also have to be of the belief that Rochdale can frustrate Spurs, and I'm not entirely sure that that will happen. So that is an option if you're that way inclined. Me personally, I think it'll be a pretty comfortable Spurs win, and I think they'll try their best not to rely on Kane. I don't imagine he'll start, and think they'll try not to bring him on unless they need to. So my bet here would be Spurs to win the match 2-0. That's 8-15. It's not the most imaginative bet in the world, but it landed in the replay against Newport in the previous round. And at home, they've been keeping clean sheets left, right and centre at present. They've only conceded 1 goal at Wembley in 2018. And they've kept clean sheets in the last 5 successive home matches against Wimbledon, Everton, Manchester United, Newport and Arsenal. I mean, some of those names have got considerably more firepower than Rochdale. In fact, almost all of those names have got more firepower than Rochdale, and they weren't able to score. So I think it'll be a real struggle for the League One side to get a goal. Spurs to win the game, and I make them a play to win to 8-15. It's bigger than the 1-10, obviously, and in a game where I just worry a little bit about handicaps, because I could just see Spurs strolling to a 2-0 win and not having to absolutely go and rout them. So Spurs to win without conceding, 8-15.
You could hope that Rochdale hold their own for 45 minutes or whatever, and Spurs are just warming into the game. If you want a bit more value, draw half time, Spurs full time, the double result 16-5. And also the thing that you played in the first game we talked about, but this time with Spurs to win, and under 2.5 goals. Our traders really don't expect that to happen. It's 14-5 for that. Whereas Spurs to win in over 2.5 goals, obviously, everyone expecting Spurs to get a hatful here. That is 130 on. So
yeah,
you could make the value play by thinking this isn't going to be the cakewalk that it looks like it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be.
Yeah, it really should be. But I suppose from a trading perspective, if you put a team in at 10s on, you have to therefore assume that there are going to be plenty of goals. But it might just not be the case, and Spurs can still win comfortably without scoring an absolute shedload. So you are getting a bigger price about that than you probably ought to be.
Mm. Check the team news there, obviously, see if Harry Kane does start. If he does, then he's the obvious call to get on the score sheet, given that he's in fantastic form. He's reached 150 career goals at the weekend, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What a man. What a one-season wonder he has been.
Exactly.
Let's move on to the Premier League action this midweek. That is on Thursday night. A replay, a repeat of the Carabao Cup finalists. Arsenal take on Man City this time at the Emirates, a 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Thursday evening. They, of course, met in the League Cup final on Sunday. City won 3-0 and looked absolutely streets ahead of the Gunners. There will be changes to the team. Mkhitaryan can come back in for Arsenal. He has to be a pretty good player, though, to change what happened at the weekend, because City just ran riot, didn't they? 7-2, particularly the second half. 7-2 Arsenal. The draw 14-5. Man City are 8-11. Just going to throw a little caveat at you, though, Sam.
Yeah.
City haven't won away at Arsenal since 2013. It's not a happy hunting ground for them.
No, it isn't particularly. I was interested to read that as well coming into this game. So Arsenal have a surprisingly good record at the Emirates against Man City. They were obviously lambasted at the weekend for a pretty toothless performance in the aforementioned Carabao Cup final. I actually thought they competed reasonably well for 45 minutes, but when City really went through the gears second half, Arsenal massively dropped off, and it will be the manner of the defeat and the attitude of the players that will gall so many Arsenal fans. Obviously, plenty of people were very vocal about it. Gary Neville, despite not being an Arsenal fan, sounded like the angriest man in the country. I wonder how the actual Arsenal fans were feeling after that performance. So they've really got to bounce back here and try and, I'll put down a marker, but certainly offer up a much more improved performance
than they did at the weekend. Sorry, just to interrupt, but just with the Gary Neville saying how awful they were on Sunday, it's great. If you can listen back to it by any chance, do it, because he rips Arsenal apart. But they were so poor against Östersund even the Thursday night before. Yeah. There's no fight in the team. When Gary Neville said you can't walk at Wembley, you can't walk on a football pitch, they just don't care.
No.
And it's just embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, they kind of look like a team that are just going through the motions at the moment. And realistically, this game should kind of just be about the performance and trying not to get humiliated, because I think it should be all eggs in the Europa League basket now, really, for Arsenal. I mean, in terms of the Premier League season, obviously it's always a big game when two sides like this play each other, Arsenal versus Man City. But really, I mean, City are going to finish top and Arsenal are going to finish sixth now. I can't see how either of those two things don't happen, really. And that's the position that they both currently lie. So this probably won't have much of a bearing on the Premier League season whatsoever. Arsenal have obviously got a tricky Europa League tie to come. They've got to play Milan over two legs. That has to be the number one priority for them here. It doesn't necessarily mean that they need to be resting players this far out, but that should be the sole focus now for Arsenal, because they're pretty much just are going to finish where they are on the table. I don't think anyone below them will be consistent enough to catch them, and I certainly don't think they're going to reel in the teams above them. So they're probably just going to finish exactly where they are. As you quite rightly mentioned, they can take some sort of solace in the fact that they haven't lost to City in their last five or six matches at home in all competitions. I do think it'll be a slightly improved show in midweek, but I'm just wondering, maybe that's because I just don't think they can play that badly again against such a good side. Obviously, back on home soil, it's always a slight benefit for them. But there'll be plenty of players who will want to prove themselves. People like Mustafi and Callum Chambers are really going to have to step up, because they came in for plenty of deserved criticism at the weekend. And it'll be interesting to see how much fight is in those players. I think this is probably quite a good price for Man City, though. It's been trimmed in from when I looked at this game this morning. Not by a great deal, but it's now into 8-11. I still don't think that is a bad bet for Manchester City here. And I can't really see Arsenal improving sufficiently to take anything out of the game, albeit I do think they will be a bit better than they were at the weekend. Probably not enough to take anything here. It was interesting at the weekend, it was the old guard that did the damage for Man City at Wembley. Three of the club's longest serving players in Sergio Aguero, David Silva and Vincent Kompany on the score sheet. And Aguero's got a really good record in general against the Gunners. He scored in six of his last seven against Arsenal. And 5-6 is maybe a little bit generous for him to get on the score sheet any time. He's one of the most prolific men in the country. And against a frail Arsenal defence, who will probably, will definitely be low on confidence after the weekend. I would argue that 5-6 is probably a fairly generous price about him scoring. I'd probably wait for team news again because Gabriel Jesus was fit enough for the bench again at the weekend. So it might be that he gets the nod. But if Aguero starts, I mean, they sound like two extremely obvious bets, Man City to win, Aguero to score. Put the two together, it's a 29-20 win cast, which I really don't mind given what we saw last weekend. City are going to have to underperform massively, and Arsenal are going to have to be at their very best to take anything from this. I can't imagine it happening. And if Aguero starts, the form that he's been in all season, and the fact that he's got a good goal-scoring record against Arsenal, and the fact that they'll still be having nightmares about him from the weekend. 29-20 as a win cast, I think, is pretty decent. It's not taken me loads of imagination to find it. It's not the most creative bet in the world, but I think it's got a really good chance.
Mm. He scored in his last five games against Arsenal, Sergio Aguero. He's suddenly found the goal-scoring knack against the Gunners. Yeah, I was going to be very, very ridiculous then, and say, but I've mentioned the Arsenal record against Man City at home at the Emirates, and 12-1 for Aguero to score, but Arsenal to win the match, it's not big enough.
No.
12-1 is not big enough.
No, it's probably not.
So that's that. There was one other thing I was going to mention here, and that is just a little sidetrack, really. Already people talking about Wenger out and the Wenger out brigade. I've got their signs back out and so on and so forth. If you look at their run coming up, they've got City on Thursday night. Brighton's a tough place to go. They should win that game, but if they don't, then they got to go to Milan.
Yeah.
They might struggle there. They then got Watford, who have been a bogey side for them. They've beaten them the last twice they've met. And then back to Milan. In five games' time, Arsenal could be looking at that without a victory in seven. And then the Wenger out brigade would probably be storming the door of the Emirates.
Yeah. I still...
Tough time for Arsenal.
It is, it definitely is. I still can't imagine that they would get rid of him during a season. I still think it'll be something that's done at the end of the year. And as I mentioned earlier, they're lucky in a way that you just can't see Burnley, Leicester, Everton stringing together enough of a run to usurp Arsenal out of sixth place. I definitely don't think they'll catch the teams above them. But even if they do go on a bit of a barren spell, I don't think they're in too much danger of finishing any lower than they currently are in the table. I mean, yeah, Burnley, Leicester and Everton, all three of them have got a negative goal difference, by the way. And I can't see any of those three finishing well enough to usurp Arsenal from six. So on the bright side, in a way, they've almost hit rock bottom in the Premier League. Of course, it could get worse, but I don't think it will get any worse than finishing sixth for them. And, you know, they're still in the Europa League. They've still got a chance of... I mean, there's some good teams in that tournament. Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund. They've got to take on Milan, who are having a pretty abject season in Serie A, given the money that they've spent. But if he can guide them to the Europa League and get them back into the Champions League through that way, via the back door, as Manchester United did last year, then the delivery of a European title and Champions League qualification again next year, I'm not saying all will be forgiven because there's plenty of people who've made their minds up fully on Arsene Wenger, but I think I'd view that as a successful season if I was an Arsenal fan. But of course, it all hinges on winning the Europa League, because if they're knocked out of that, then it's going to be no silverware and a sixth place finish, no European football next year, well, no Champions League football next year. So everything hinges on that for me, and all the eggs should be well and truly in the Europa League basket, and that has to be the focus for the rest of the season.
He's going to be there next year, isn't he? He's going to win the Europa League and still be there next year, and then Arsenal fans will be going mental.
You can just kind of see it happening, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the players that he's got, if you've got a firing Aubameyang with Mkhitaryan supplying him, Ozil, when he's on form, Ramsey should be playing better than he did at the weekend. I know he's picked up, he's not really fully fit, is he? Jack Wilshere, if he stays fit. They've got the makings of a... it's pretty obvious what I'm saying. They've got the makings of a very good side. Mm.
they badly need some defensive reinforcements there, don't they?
Nice, I didn't mention any defenders
after the weekend.
There.
Yeah. You're starting to look down that list and think,
yeah.
It's not. It's that hard to pinpoint where the problems lie for the Arsenal side. But you know, they're not. They did pretty well out of the Sanchez deal in getting Mkhitaryan. Aubameyang is obviously a great capture, but they didn't try and strengthen the back line in January.
They never do.
This is the thing. This is the frustration for Arsenal fans, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite bet from everything you've spoken about?
Yeah, I quite like Swansea and under 2.5 goals in that Swansea-Sheffield Wednesday FA Cup replay coming up on Tuesday night. So that'll be my idea of a nap. It's 9-4, Swansea to win the game and under 2.5 goals.
Thank you, Sam.
Cheers, Mark.
Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.